ss.com. There's a contact button on the left-hand side. Shoot me an email, and I'll get back to you within 24 or 48 hours, and we can set up a time to talk with me or somebody from the Money Matters team. We've got to go quick news, weather, traffic, then we're right back with more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Hi, this is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News and WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates 4 times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. After 6 straight down weeks to start the year, then we had 5 straight up weeks to follow. So we've had this incredibly bifurcated year. This past week, the rally took a break, down about 0.5%, down S&P. So here we are for a split 2016. The Dow's up about 0.5%. The S&P 500's down about 0.5%. So still no go where, still going nowhere with plenty of volatility. Let's call that violently flat, just like we had in 2015. Again, part of what we have to get used to, nobody said investing was easy. That's why we're here every Sunday morning from 9 to 11. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're talking about what's happening with the news and how salacious investment and money reporting is getting and how it's going to make it even more difficult in the future to be a good investor. Our weather, of course, brought to you 80% chance of scattered thunder showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. High temp, low 70s, low temp, low 60s, brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Straight ahead, news, weather, traffic, and more Money Matters in the 10 o'clock hour.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Just looking through the Facebook page here, the Money Matters Facebook page. And I'm looking through it because the articles are just so good that we post. They're just all interesting now. Over the last month, we've really stepped up Facebook. I've gotten very involved in making sure that every article is something that I think people need to read or just plain want to read. So how about this? We just posted this. The easiest way to get smarter, according to science. I like that. Do these 10 things if you're thinking about sending your kids to college over the next decade. How about this? 40 mindless ways you're wasting your paycheck. 9 tax breaks for parents. How kids could save a grand in taxes. Save you a grand in taxes. And then we do some life coaching. I'm not going to say this is life coaching, but I like to read this kind of stuff. How successful people spend their weekends. Well, what do they do? What are 10 things that really successful people do during the weekend? And I love these posts. So if I read something and I love it, I'm going to post it. How to become the next Warren Buffett. There are 23 steps or 23 things that Buffett does that you should do. How about this? 15 ways to guarantee you won't become a millionaire. So 15 big mistakes that'll make sure that you're never rich. Of course, those are the things you don't want to do. So we spend a lot of time now making sure that the Facebook page has articles that you will really learn. You'll really learn something. And it's a little daily dose of motivation financially to live a better life and be a better person. And some of it has to do with money. A lot of it has some tie back to your finances and being able to retire sooner and retire a little bit early. Some of it has to do with the well-being of your retirement. A huge part of my book in Retire Sooner Than You Think is about enjoying retirement. So the first half of the book isn't really even about money. It's about how do you position yourself in a way where you're at a happy place, you have purpose. So that, again, then the money part of it comes in, of course, because the money side has to pay for the purpose side or the happy side of doing the things that you want to do. So if you are, I know I haven't talked about Facebook a lot over the last many, many years because I've I don't know if I fully committed, let's say, to Facebook, and now I have, and it really works, and it's wonderful. Now that articles, now that people like them and share them, people see them more, and that's the algorithm that Facebook uses. So if you're on Facebook, it's Wes Moss Money Matters is the Facebook page for this show that I post on. So it's just, again, Wes, W-E-S, Moss, Money Matters. And there's a background, Retire Sooner. You see me there on the radio. So you just have to like the page, of course. And if you do that, if what I post gets momentum and people like it and they share it, and that's probably the biggest, if there's anything that you'll do, if you share it, that makes it more visible in the algorithm. Facebook is now, of course, very algorithmic. It's fascinating. So they control what you see. So if, just because you've liked a page doesn't mean you're going to see anything from that page. The posts on that particular page have to engage a lot of people. People have to like it. People have to share it. People have to comment on it. And if that happens, then it might show up in your feed and you might get to see it. So that is part of the algorithm. They don't want to show you boring stuff. And we try very hard to make sure that what we have on Wes Moss Money Matters on the Facebook page is anything but boring stuff. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to the show. You're tuned into Money Matters. Let's talk. Let's go to the phones and let's talk to you with your money questions, pension, 401k, IRA, annuity, ETF versus fund, you name it. We're here to try to help and try to give you some guidance to get to a better place and a little bit earlier retirement. Even if you shave a month off retirement, I'm happy. We did a little something here on Sunday mornings. So let's go. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to Elise.
Yes.
Elise joins us in Marietta. Good morning. How can we help?
My question is this. If you don't need the income, is it better to invest in an ETF mutual fund that pays dividends or one that doesn't?
If you do not need the income, well, it depends here on what kind of account, Elise. Is this an IRA type account or a non-IRA type account?
Non-IRA, because I understand an IRA is, of course, you're not paying tax on those dividends.
Exactly. And that's part of why I wanted to quantify for the audience is that there are two differences. There's qualified or retirement money. So anything that's 401k, IRA, Roth, 403b is not going to have current taxation, but anything outside of that will. So if you truly, Elise, you mm-hmm. don't need the current income, then I'm fine leaning more towards growth-oriented securities. Now, I meaning that if you get a dividend from an ETF or a stock, you're going to pay taxes on it in that current year.
Mm-hmm.
So part of smart retirement planning is to minimize your overall tax burden. Now, the caveat to that, and I like to say this, you never let the tax tail wag the investment dog, meaning that your first priority is not to control taxes. Your first priority needs to be the very best investments. Your second priority is taxes. So don't not invest in a stock or an ETF that has a nice dividend just because you don't want to worry about paying dividend taxes, right? Because you still may be better off over the long run, and I believe most of the time you are, having dividend-oriented securities, even though you do have to pay current taxation on that. Remember that dividend taxes are favorable. So mm-hmm. the dividend tax is much lower than the ordinary income tax. And if you're in the 15 bracket or lower, the tax on qualified dividends is actually zero.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very efficient. It's a very efficient way to get income. And I think usually, just like in most rational planning, the answer is probably a little bit of both, at least, is that it's fine to have some dividend-oriented ETFs. And I think it's also absolutely fine to have growth oriented, that you the dividends don't play nearly as big of a role and you're really counting on just pure capital appreciation. 404-872-0750, the number in the studio. David from Marietta joins us. David, how can we help? What's going on?
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, my friend. What's going on? How can we help?
I need some just some guidance for, let's say, my daughter. She's a sole proprietor. And she's wanting to set up her retirement account. and she's talking with some certified financial planners, and I'm not sure whether it's a fee-based is the best way to go or if they represent different investment companies. And I'm really not sure how that works, and I don't know if there's any guidance that you can share for her.
What are some of the recommendations they're making?
One of them would be an Oppenheimer fund.
All right. And do you know what kind of Oppenheimer fund? Is it a scenario where they're paying an A share or a B share or a C share? Is it a fee only advisor, or is that not clear in the conversation whether they're fee only or not?
Apparently they don't charge a fee. Apparently they make their money off the accounts they set you up on.
It sounds like, so that is, the recommendation is a fund company that's just all through the Oppenheimer funds. Is that what you're saying?
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
It sounds to me, and this is where there's very often confusion here. Just because a planner is a certified financial planner doesn't mean that they're also a fee-only planner. So I believe there's confusion often that just because somebody's a CFP, they're also a fee-only advisor. And the two don't necessarily have to tie together. Very often, certified financial planners are also fee-only, and that's the way I operate and have for many, many years. So I'm a certified financial planner, but I'm also, our firm is a registered investment advisory firm, so it's fee-only. That means that we don't charge, there's no commissions that come from the products that our clients utilize, or any fee-only advisor. It means that the client themselves pay either an asset under management fee, assets under management, or there are some, and they're few and far between, hourly fee planners as well. And they only charge by the hour. Now they typically can't say, hey, I want an hour. Typically, they give you kind of a minimum retainer, 5 hours, 10 hours, or they'll charge a flat fee for a plan. The way I've always done it over the years is an asset under management fee that comes from the client pays for everything else. When I see something where you're getting the recommendation for, let's say, one fund family, like, i.e., hey, you should be in the Oppenheimer funds or the American funds or the Franklin Templeton funds, doesn't mean the three I just named, those are good fund families. They have a lot of really good mutual funds that are, let's call it, moderately priced, good long-term performance. They've been around for 50 plus years. All the funds that I've just mentioned, or at least 50 years. So that's in theory, not a bad place to start. But if someone says there is no fee, then that's very misleading, because an advisor is not doing this out of charity. So what I'm seeing here is they're probably, the fund is paying the advisor to sell the fund. So if they sell you, if they're selling your daughter an A share mutual fund, she's paying 4 or 5% load to do that. And then the mutual fund pays what's called a 12B1 fee to the advisor every single year. So advisors that do it that way, it may not be a bad thing for the client. That it may be okay, but it also might be something that where there's a little bit of a conflict going on, meaning that, hey, I'm getting paid to sell this fund, so I'm going to use the Oppenheimer funds or the American funds or whatever it might be. If the advisor is not truly a fee-only advisor. There's plenty of different models in the investment world, and some of them work for a certain type of family. Others work for another kind of family. I don't think there's not a one-size-fits-all that's best for anyone. But I typically lean towards a fee-only environment where the advisor isn't getting paid to recommend one fund over another fund versus this product versus that product. I think that in the world we live in today, you can go out and find someone that should be completely product objective, completely product agnostic. And I want your daughter to go ask that advisor if that is the case in her situation, because if it's not, I don't know if it's necessarily the best fit. 404-872-0750, the number here in the studio. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Miller's weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. My favorite line from Warren Buffett's letter this year, his letter to shareholders, really reinforces the point about how the population continues to grow around the world and in America. And he actually talks specifically about the numbers in his shareholder letter. But I love that he says for the last 240 years, it's been a terrible mistake to bet against America. And now's no time to start. So I love that Buffett continues to have that drumbeat. And it goes back to, are we going to get, how does the economic pie really get bigger? And this is something that we don't think about a lot. And anytime I ever talk about this with investors, it's kind of a light bulb goes on. Where is this optimism from a Buffett come from? And he's always had this same optimism that, hey, the economic pie gets bigger. But how does it do that? You got to have growth in population. There's plenty of instances over history where certain populations are not growing, or they're actually shrinking. And those are really tough environments macroeconomically to ever make money in. So if you look at demographics around the world, to really understand this, there are about 131 million births every single year on Earth, 360,000 babies born every single day. The same study shows that there's 55 million deaths, or 151,000 per day. So that's the math on the world as far as is it growing or not. So we have 151,000 deaths per day, which is terrible and sad, but 360,000 babies born every single day. Just look at Facebook to see that. I see every day on my Facebook someone's having a baby. It's exciting, it's wonderful, and it's part of how the economic pie continues to get bigger. Straight ahead, more Money Matters. News, weather, traffic right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Well, it makes no difference whether you're young or old. All you got to do is get together and let the good time roll.
Hi, this is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News and WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates four times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. WSB Radio here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, and Ryan Ely, producer, executive producer, here with me in the studio every Sunday morning as well. The number 404-872-0750. We talked earlier today about a couple of different charts we've been posting in retirement statistics. So the EBRI, the Employee Benefit Research Institute, comes out once a year with this amazingly comprehensive study about how people are doing money-wise. Hey, how am I doing in America? Question I get a lot. Hey, Wes, how am I doing relative to the rest of the world? Have I saved a lot? Am I in a good financial position relative to most people you see, most people in the world, most people in America? I don't know. We all want to know some sort of comparative number. Am I doing, did all this sacrifice pay off relative to people that didn't? I think that's what you're asking. The common phenomenon is yes, most people want double what they have. If you have 200,000 saved, you want four. If you have a million saved, you want 2 million. If you have 5 million, yes, you do want 10 million. That is a reality. But I just reposted, well, I actually just got an email from somebody through Facebook, a Facebook message that asked, hey, what's that story? The story is through Forbes. And the title of it, it's The Dicey Retirement Gamble Americans Are Making. It's a Forbes article that I have posted on the Wes Moss Money Matters Facebook page. So if you're on Westmoss Money Matters, you'll see it. It's the post looks like a chart. And again, the title, the Dicey Retirement Gamble Americans Are Making. And I just emailed back with that to David from Tucker. Anyway, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's go to the phones here. Paul joins us. He's live on I-75. How can we help, Paul?
I have a closed-end fund, GAB, Gabelli.
Oh, sure. Gabelli. They have a lot of different closed-end funds. I'm with you, and I'm familiar with the symbol on this one, just GAB, right? The Gabelli Equity Trust?
GAB.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, now, my brother-in-law, I think, started when the fund started in 1986, and he has been in that fund ever since for 30 years. He died several years ago, but his son's in with it now. And it's been paying out about 10% or more every year for the last 30 years. And I'm just asking what's wrong with that, because I keep people around, they try to get 4-5%, and this particular fund's paying out 10% a year at least, and I never really hear anybody talk about it.
Well, it's because of this. So there's two... I see where you're coming from. You're saying to yourself, in fact, our listeners are saying to themselves, wait a minute. There's a fund that pays out 10% a year, and it's done that every single year for 30 years, and I've never heard of it? Wes, why aren't you talking about GAB? Why aren't you talking about it? That sounds like magic, doesn't it? So, Paul, that's what you're thinking, right? You're thinking, this sounds like the perfect investment, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to get to the punchline in a minute here, but this is an interesting call. Yes, it pays out. In fact, today, if you buy it today, the distribution rate is
about 12.
It's 11 and a quarter. It's 11.28%. If you go to CEF Connect, Closed End Fund Connect is a really good source. It's done by Nuveen, and it's a great place that tracks all the minutiae and the details that go into closed-end funds because they're complicated instruments. And this is a great example of why they're complicated, because this closed-end fund and most closed-end funds pay out what's called a distribution, which is very different, Paul, than a dividend. A distribution is just a set amount that a fund, closed-end fund, settles upon as a group. They say, hey guys, let's pay out 5% a year. Okay, and just level distribution. Let's pay out 6% a year. And they're gonna do that regardless of how the performance of the underlying assets do. So it's a huge difference between a dividend. So if you have an ETF that pays you out a dividend, it's paying you, the dividend you receive is just whatever the companies pay. So if the companies inside of an ETF or closed-end fund pay out 3.5% a year, and it's a dividend pass-through model, or you own a stock that pays a 3.5% dividend, that's what you get. You get what they pay. Very different from a distribution. A distribution is a set amount that'll come from a fund, and it can be, let's say it's 10% for round numbers, and the fund underlying assets are totally flat in a given year. So they don't make any money, or they don't lose any money. So that's including the dividends. Let's say it's totally flat, Paul, but the distribution rate is 10%. Well, they're going to give you 10%, but they're giving you back 10% of your own money. Does that make sense? So the distribution rate is just a set number that could be completely made up. It could be 5, it could be 7, it could be 10, it could be 15. Now, you know that 15% distribution rate, that it's going to run out of money unless the underlying assets perform at 15% per year. I think Paul probably lost me. Can you still hear me, Paul?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So what this fund has done, yes, it's paid out 10% a year, probably on average over all these years, but really there's no magic to that because it's an all equity fund. Yeah, it's managed by Mario Gabelli and his team, which, by the way, I love Mario Gabelli. Met him a couple years ago at a Schwab conference one of my favorite investors. He's a super smart guy, great stock picker. But the reality of this fund is the magic to that fund and the reason it's been able to pay out 10% a year and it hasn't gone down to zero, because so is the stock market. That's exactly, the market's done the same thing. So yeah, Gabelli's done that for 30 plus years, but so has the S&P 500. So there's no magic to this. It's not as though they figured out some formula that nobody else has done. It's that if you've been an investor for 30 plus years, then underlying equities in the Standard & Poor's 500 and the Dow, let's say, and most full equity indexes, if you've been in them for 30, 35 years, then yeah, you've gotten about 10% a year, and that's what the rate of return for markets has been. It's hard for you and I to believe that, isn't it? Right?
Yes.
Because the last several years don't feel that way. I mean, my goodness, we started with a bear market in the 1999, 2000, then we had another one in 2007, 2008. It doesn't feel like the market's averaged 11% a year for the last 35, 40 years, but it actually has. It's just that I think our perception is that things are pretty bad, and it's hard for us to conceive that they've done so well. If I pull up a five-year chart of GAB, Gabelli Equity Fund, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, just pull up a chart, last 5 years, you'll see the Dow is up 43%. That doesn't count dividends. So you got to add another 2% a year, let's say. So let's call it another 10. So the Dow's up about 55% over the last 5 years. And if you look at the net asset value, or the price of Gabelli, GAB, it's down 12.5% over that five-year period. But if you pull up a chart on Google or Yahoo Finance, it doesn't count the 10% because it's just showing you the price. So let's add in another 50%. 50% on top of negative 12, well, we've got about a 40% return, or 38%, let's call it 40% return, but the Dow's actually done even better than that. So it just shows you that it's distributing money, it's not giving you dividends. They're very different things. So if they don't make any money in a given year, yet they pay you out 10%, they're just giving you your own money back. And that's the huge difference here, Paul, that I want to make sure you and everybody understands. A closed-end fund pays a distribution, which don't be confused between a distribution and a dividend. They are totally separate things. Just because they come out as cash flow doesn't make them the same thing. And again, as a good example here, I need to write an article about this. What a great example here that, yes, over 30 plus years, you see a closed-end fund like this pay out 10% a year. But guess what? So have equities. So has been being a patient stock investor for 35 plus years. I think it just doesn't feel that way as an investor. And that really goes back to how the media and how the news that we're hit with every single day, how it feels in the world we live in. I mean, no matter how good things are in America, it's never going to be reported that things are good. And I think that's what makes it really difficult to be a good investor. You know, one of my predictions earlier in the year was that you're going to continue to, and this will continue to prove itself out and play out. This is a great point that Paul that reminded me of Paul's call reminds me of this. But and I think this is obvious too, not necessarily easy to harness, is that the salaciousness of news information and flow you're going to be subjected to is going to continue to get scarier and scarier. You know, we're used to scary headlines now already. We've gotten desensitized to it. We've gotten desensitized to what I would consider garden variety scare tactics. So the news media now, for the news media, garden variety just isn't going to cut it anymore. So you're going to see more and more scary tactics happen, and it makes it seem like, hey, the market is never really any good, is it? We had one down day, that we had two really small down days this week. So down Tuesday was down, Wednesday was down a little bit, 80 points on the Dow immediately. So 121 points on a Dow that's 17,500 approximately is a 0.68 drop. Okay, that's it. As soon as that happens, stories barrage. Why one strategist says Wednesday's fall is the start of the next bear market. Here's another one. Why this technician sees Wednesday's stock slide as the start of an avalanche. If I were writing these headlines, I could tune it up even more. Why not just say, why Wednesday's dip may just be a slice that could sink the Titanic. Why not just make it that? I mean, that's what headlines are doing to you, and it makes it so difficult to be an investor. So just a reminder that being an investor in a news-informed American is only going to get more difficult. It's hard to have those two line up. You're going to have to see through the constant barrage of negative ridiculousness. And you're always going to have to go back to knowing that you're not crazy for ignoring the dark clouds, because there's always going to be dark clouds. You've got to have the conviction that the companies you own will be bigger and better and smarter in 5 years from now, and 7 years from now, and 10 years from now, regardless of what gets thrown at them. And that's, maybe you call that being an informed optimist. Remember, quality, one, diversification of revenue stream and geography, two, low net debt, three, high margins and profitability. That makes me sleep well at night. That makes me feel pretty good about being an investor. All right, hey, quick news, weather, traffic, then more money matters. Trivia prize pack straight ahead.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
80% chance of scattered showers and thunder showers throughout the day. High temp, low 70s. Low temp, low 60s. Brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Ryan Ely, we've got a prize pack. What's going on? Trivia question.
The WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see Menopause the Musical on April 1st at the Cobb Energy Center, and a pair of tickets to the Bud Light Concert Series featuring Bryan Adams on April 16th at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, produced by Live Nation. This week's trivia question is a blatant shout-out to U.S. UNC. If they win the national championship, the number one seed this year, if they win, it'll be the fourth consecutive decade in which they've won a national championship for basketball. Can you tell me how many they have already?
Sure, they have... Oh, I'm not supposed to say it. Actually, I didn't know this. I'm probably a terrible fan. But
you had a very optimistic view of how many they'd already won.
I was a little above what they had actually won, but it's a real number. It's a real number, and it's a yeoman's task to win a national championship, as you can imagine. 404-741-0750 is the number here in the studio, and the Tar Heels really are playing well. They are really playing well, and they're fun to watch. And I can't wait till tonight when they better beat Notre Dame. They absolutely better beat the Fighting Irish. And I love Notre Dame. They're like my seventh favorite school. But I want them to win. Of course, I want Carolina to win. So with that, what a fun show today here on Money Matters. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, easy to do so. Of course, you can always go to Facebook, Wes Moss Money Matters. And we've, again, tuned up Facebook tremendously over the last month to only post articles that you will learn from and you will love and you'll make your life better. All you have to do is like our Facebook page, Wes Moss Money Matters. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, just go to WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com, and click the contact button. Those emails will come straight to me. If you have a question about your own personal financial situation, we are happy to do a 15-minute phone call, 1 hour face-to-face meeting, you name it. We're here in Atlanta, happy to help. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful Easter Sunday, and stay tuned, of course, for more right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.